Hey everyone, Chad here, and welcome to another edition of the Chad Shipley Show, where I bring you interesting, insightful, and entertaining content or people. This whole show is designed to help you stimulate, I like that word now, ideas, and where possible to help you learn how to execute better. But, and this is why I'm laughing, and this is a huge but, this episode is a little different. I'm going out on a very risky limb here by publishing this particular episode, but I think that it's really important, and I'll get to that in a minute. I probably will only leave it up for a couple of days before bringing it down, setting it on fire, and never allowing it to reach the light of day again. But it's Father's Day, and as a gift to myself, I want to do something a little crazy and test some waters a little, if you will. If you are new to the show, I would recommend not listening to this episode. Instead, check out one of my latest episodes, either Negative People or Anchors from Hell. That got a pretty big response right after I published it. Or the episode before that called The Magic of Thinking Big. Okay, so why, or maybe I should start with what. So what is this episode? Every now and again, I get very inspired to write creatively. I think being creative is really important, and I think in order to be creative, you have to really explore some unknown territories and try to tap into places that might be living somewhere in your subconscious. And this particular writing came to me after reading a very amateur blog. Amateur meaning I don't think that this person had like many listeners, but I started reading, and as I was reading, I was really taken back by how creative he was being, and I felt really inspired to do something very similar. So, what is it? It's a very fictional story about a CEO who escapes his very chaotic life by taking random trips to the middle of nowhere, doing some hallucinogenic, I call it acid in the story, but whatever, doing acid with livestock, and spending the rest of his time in a blue-collar bar listening to blue-collar people shoot the shit, so to speak. That's what we say in Pittsburgh. So now the why. Why did I feel inspired to write this? Well, first, I've never done acid or any hallucinogenic drug. For some reason, I have a hard time saying that word. Hallucinogenic. Okay. I've never done any kind of hallucinogenic drug, but there seems to be a lot of talk and a lot of research coming out on potential benefits of hallucinogenics. So maybe I'll explore that a little bit and come back to you guys with a show, but I don't know enough about it to even act like I can talk on the subject. So I'm just going to stop at that. But this is a very real thing. It seems like the Google founders, Google, we're talking about Google, the founders of Google, like one of the top companies in the entire world, they took a potential CEO to Burning Man to see if he was the right person for the job. And he ended up becoming the person that took the job. And Burning Man, if you've never attended, or I'm sure a lot of you have never attended, if you've never heard of Burning Man, I'm not the person to explain it, but I would just say to Google it, no pun intended. For me, I love the idea of someone trying to escape reality, especially someone like a CEO who feels like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. I love this because I think that this is super real, and I think it's something that all of us do. We all, or I won't say all because I'm sure there are outliers, but I think a lot of people feel this need to every now and again just escape. And everyone has a different picture of what that looks like. For most people, it's probably laying in a hammock somewhere on a beach in the middle of nowhere. For me, I kind of like this idea of being in a random bar with random people in a place I'll never go back to and just sitting there taking in the very foreign environment. And the blue collar part plays a lot into my background. I'm from Pittsburgh and I grew up in a blue collar atmosphere. And when you go into the local bars, you have your regulars. You take your cash out of your pocket, you put it on the bar. The bartender gets you your drink, and each time they do, they take it out of your cash, and they bring you back the change, and they set it back in front of you, picking at it with each new drink until you've had enough and it's time to go home. go to bed, and then do the exact same shit the next day. Now, you can obviously be blue collar and not live that type of life, and vice versa. You can be white collar and live that kind of life. But the guys and the gals in these bars, they were blue collar. They worked hard at hard jobs, and then they drank, and then they went home and they did the same shit the next day. And they would just bullshit about shit in these bars. I call it shooting the shit. Stuff that is completely inconsequential and means nothing to anyone other than them. Which I don't like, sometimes that can be very annoying. But I think at the same time, when you're dealing with a world completely outside of all of this inconsequential BS, it can almost be meditating, right? You leave this world of craziness and chaoticness where like everything means something, and you come into this setting where everything being talked about means really nothing at the end of the day. It's almost like a meditating pull back into reality that all of the stuff that you think matters probably doesn't matter either, if that makes any sense at all. Okay, to make it a little more personal, when I was a traveling consultant, I liked traveling, but it was a lot when I was doing it for work all the time. So I always liked the idea of just being on a plane with no responsibility waiting for me. Like wherever I was going, there wasn't something that needed to be done. No place to go, no plans when I get there, just a wide open world of possibility. Buy a plane ticket, get on it, drink scotch until I'm laughing hysterically at nothing at all, which that actually happened a few times. I don't know why, but for some reason, me on plane after a long week of work with a few scotches just makes me laugh hysterically, and people look at me like I'm crazy, and maybe I am. But anyway, then take a cab, or now maybe an Uber, into the middle of nowhere and do nothing until I am completely reset. Now, I'm going to say this at the risk of it making me look really bad in the eyes of all of you, but it's true, so what the hell. One of my favorite personal things to do, meaning things where my family is not involved, because obviously time with them is what I treasure the most, but one of my favorite things to do, especially before I had a family, is sit at a bar, have a couple of beers, and talk to no one. I just did this in Panama City Beach, actually. I went to get Katie a coffee, and there was a bar that had just opened up. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have a beer at the bar, listen to the guy playing music. There's probably like 5 people in the entire place, maybe like 10. And they were all spread out, so I didn't have to talk to anyone. I just sat at the end of the bar. The sun was hitting me in my face. I actually started texting Mikey Dunn, who I'm hoping will come on the show soon, because the guy was playing some really cool songs, and it reminded me of Mikey, and you guys will figure out what I'm talking about later. Anyway, I just enjoyed it. I just sat there and like relaxed and didn't have any agenda, didn't have anyone that I needed to, you know, impress or talk to or feel like I had to impress or whatever, right? And this goes back to the early days of consulting. We would all work like 10 plus hours a day. And oftentimes people on the team, they didn't even really care for one another, yet they all wanted to eat together every single night after work because they hated eating alone. Like eating alone was worse than eating with someone that they despised. Not me. I wanted nothing more in the world than to go just sit at a bar and have a drink by myself. So that's usually what I did. Now, there were people along the way that I developed deep friendships with and enjoyed being with, but for the most part, I loved being by myself. So that's it. If you get offended easily, please stop here. If not, then maybe you will enjoy. That's it. Thanks. Please pardon my absence. I took a long trip to Santa Fe, sat in goat shit, drank warm bourbon, and talked politics with a bunch of blue-collar hillbillies. It's what I have to do these days to feel alive. That fucking suit was strangling me, and all I could think about was a night under the stars sharing cocktails with livestock, taking acid, and grinning ear to ear as those goats laughed their asses off at me. There was one ugly fucking goat named Benji that laughed so hard, he woke the roosters up before the sun even cracked. I begged him to pipe down before those hen-hunting cocks came a-seeking to settle, but he didn't give 2 flying squirrel shits. By the time they trickled in, he was on the ground rolling around laughing so hard those roosters couldn't help but to just join in. Before I knew it, I had pissed my pants laughing so hard with Benji the Goat and those early rising roosters. We was all rolling around in tears, laughing our asses off. Of course, this was all on my last trip to the middle of fucking nowhere. My board of directors was pressuring me to upgrade my hotels. They made me hire a fitness guru who they thought would bring a better perspective. His name was Carl Thompson, but he told me his friends call him Crazy Carl. I told him he looked and talked like a certified asshole. He told me I needed to put in a juice bar and replace my caffeinated and decaffeinated coffee jugs. And he didn't just recommend. This little jagoff spoke to me like I was a child. He told me my way of thinking needed an upgrade. I'll come back to this little son of a bitch later. What's important is you understand the reason for me taking these trips, literally and figuratively, shooting the shit with heifers and getting in fist fights with the fucking mules. I need it. Of course, I still fly first class, but I do it my way. Dress like some asshole off the street drinking Dewar's scotch on the rocks and letting all the corporate assholes around me admire my escape from hell. When I land in some remote location off the grid, I drive my rental car 200 miles into the abyss, a town with one motel, one bar, a beautiful sunset, and a lot of dick-swinging assholes. The second I pulled into this particular motel, I knew it was exactly what I was looking for. I saw the prostitutes making their ways in and out of one room after the next. When I got to the counter, I saw my old friend Gene. I never met him, but they all the same. Low-life piece of shit who only smokes when they drink, but they drink more than anyone you know smokes.
What do you want?
Gene said as he stared at the TV with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
You a straight shooter, Gene. I like that about you.
My name's not Gene. Now what the fuck do you want?
I need a room for four nights and directions to the best bar in town.
It's $60 cash. It's $10 a night plus a $20 tip. The tip's for me. The only bar in town is right across the street.
He pointed to a bar with half the sign lit up. The lit up part said, Sugar. The unlit part looked like it said, Our Daddies. Now what kind of bar can you imagine names they self, Sugar Daddies?
Fuck, I love it here. If you're smart, you'll keep your mouth shut and your dick in your pants while yous is in there, you hear?
I couldn't take that little jag off Jim asshole telling me shit, but for some reason, I liked it when Gene talked to me like I was an asshole.
You need lovin'? That's what these here girls are for out here, okay? You just come and see me and we'll take care of you.
I nodded and smiled. I was glad to be home and I couldn't wait to get into that bar.